sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
And Father, we thank you today for your blessings and for all that you've done for us. And Father, I ask now your anointing, Father, upon me as I bring the word that you have laid upon my heart for this time and for this people. And I give you praise, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yesterday I was taking a nap and we'd gotten home from church and had our lunch and I'd laid down, was taking a nap, and my wife was watching television, and she watches several different religious programs on Sunday afternoon and enjoys them. And as I began to wake up from my nap, I could hear a chorus that was being sung that was familiar. In fact, actually, as I was just laying there and still not quite fully awake, I could hear my wife singing along with part of what was being sung on that particular song. And it reminded me, as it was a song I had heard as far back as I can remember, actually, back to the early 50s when it was the theme song for the Oral Roberts Crusades and probably was sung in every service that he ever conducted, at least while he was in tent revivals. And even today, you can go on the internet and bring it up and hear someone singing that song. And this is a song that was written, around the late 1800s, probably early 1900s, because the gentleman who wrote the song, H.H. Hiemeyer, passed away around 1927, I believe. But the chorus of that song goes like this. Where the healing waters flow, where the joys celestial glow, oh, there's peace and rest and love, where the healing waters flow. And I remember as a child being taken to one of Brother Oral Roberts' tent revivals, and thousands came down the aisles to be prayed for various ailments. Probably just about every ailment that you can think of, and diseases. And they were coming down to be prayed for and to be healed through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been in the ministry for roughly 57 years, and I know that dates me pretty much. And I've heard that chorus sung many, many times. But you know, I really don't recall hearing the verses that went with that chorus. There are four verses that go with the chorus, and maybe some of you that are listening today, you've heard the song as well over the years, and most of the time, though, it's just the chorus that gets sung. So I looked it up. As God began to speak to my heart, that song was laid on my heart, and I thought there's a message that God is speaking to me in this song. So I looked it up and found that it had four verses. And the interesting thing about those four verses, none of them spoke of physical healing. Not one did it say that you would be physically healed. So I want to read verses 1 and 4 because they particularly stood out to me. And you can look it up on the internet. Just type in lyrics to Where the Healing Waters Flow. But verse 1 says, oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss the blood washed know. Oh, the peace akin to heaven, where the healing waters flow. Then verse 4 goes on to say, cleansed from every sin and stain, whiter than the driven snow. Now I sing my sweet refrain, where the healing waters flow. Think about that a minute. Not one word of physical healing in there. Now I know that physical healing is important to us. Go back in the Bible. It was important to Jesus as he ministered. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 24 tell us this. So Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And his fame spread abroad through all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and them that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. So healing was very important to Jesus. In Luke 6:17 it says, and he came down with them and stood in a plain place with the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Healing was important to Jesus. Everywhere he went, it talks about him healing the sick, the afflicted, delivering those that were possessed with devils. It didn't seem to matter what the problem was. Jesus brought healing into their lives. I'm reminded the story of the woman with the issue of blood who said in her heart, if I could just get close enough to touch, the King James Version says, the hem of his garment. If we look up historically, that meant the fringe that went around the tallit, that went around the prayer shawl. And if I could just touch that, I'll be healed. The story also tells us in the scripture that Jesus was in a large multitude of people. There were a lot of people, and I imagine some of them were bumping him a little bit. You know how it is when you get in a crowd. You just don't walk without somebody else bumping into you hardly. And all she's trying to do is just touch that fringe on his prayer shawl. And he knew what had happened. I can picture it now. I have several prayer shawls, and I know what the fringe is like. And I know that just to touch the fringe, normally the person wearing the prayer shawl is not even going to realize that somebody has touched that fringe. But Jesus knew, and he cared, and he brought healing into her life. It was so important that he commissioned his disciples and those who came after him to go about and to heal the sick. And we find on the day of Pentecost, which we read about in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit descended upon those that were gathered in the upper room, and the power fell, and they began to speak into other tongues. And the scripture tells us then after that happened, they went out into the streets. And as they go out into the streets, Peter begins to preach, because you see, they came out speaking in other tongues. And you know, when God's moving, there's always got to be a naysayer somewhere, somebody complaining. And somebody looked and said, oh, it's just a bunch of drunks coming down. And he said, "It's only but the third hour of the day. It's in the morning still. They're not drunk." And then he got up and began to preach. And when he finished with his sermon, it tells us that 3,000 were saved. But it didn't stop there, because the next chapter, chapter 3, begins with verse 1. It says, "And now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer." And that would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. "And a certain man, which was a cripple from his mother's womb," in other words, he was born that way, "whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." His only way of making a living is to sit there and beg, essentially. "Who, seeing Peter and John, that they would enter into the temple, desired to receive an alms. And Peter, earnestly beholding him with John, said, 'Look upon us.' And he gave heed unto them, trusting to receive something of them. Then said Peter," oh, and I've loved this verse for years. This story here, I tell you, it always thrills my heart when I read it. Then said Peter, "Silver and gold have I none." You know, that reminds me really of a lot of God's people. We may not have a lot of these worldly possessions. We may not have fame. We may not have fortune. We may not have great wealth. But he goes on to say, "But such as I have, that give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Oh, it wasn't what Peter and John had in the natural. It wasn't how much money they had in their pocket. It wasn't what kind of donkey they rode. Today it'd be what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. It's what's within you. It's God dwelling within you. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. That's what's important in your life. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And it says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." I want you to think a minute here. This is a guy that was born that way. He had never walked a day in his life. Never walked one time in his life. "And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walk and praising God." Now, when you get a chance, go ahead and read the rest of the story there, because just like a lot of people today, some of the religious people of that day got upset because of what had happened. "Oh, he shouldn't have done it right then. He shouldn't have done it now. Maybe he should have waited till later. He should have done this. He should have done that." But when God is ready to move, it's time to get up and go. And many more times we're told in the scriptures of those who had physical healings in their lives. In fact, in the book of Acts, we're told where they took claws from the body of, I believe it was Peter, and they sent them to people. And that's where the origin of prayer cloths come, where, because when they took that it touched that anointed person of God, and it was delivered to the one that was sick, healing came into their life. And I've seen that still happen today, as we've sent out prayer cloths and healing came into the lives of those who received them. And I'm sure that there are someone listening that's had miraculous healings in their life. If we could sit and speak to each other, some of you might could tell me of the healing that God has worked in your life, how he moved in your life. And I've had several healings in my life, some more outstanding than others. But I'm here to tell you that I am here today because of those healings that took place in my life. I could have died as a child if God had not healed me, brought healing into my physical body. And as I sat here today bringing this message, I was thinking as I was preparing that in just a little over a week, it will be 5 years since I was taken to the hospital for a problem that I didn't even know I had. I went in to see the doctor because I had my stomach bothering me. And he told me, he says, I'm going to run some tests and I'll call you at home, because it was late in the evening. I'll call you at home if it's a problem. He called me about 10 o'clock at night and said, they're waiting for you at the hospital. I still didn't even know what the extent of my problem was. And I really, quite honestly, can't tell you a whole lot of what happened over the next several weeks. I do know that I had surgery. I know that they weren't able to do all that they were supposed to be able to do. I know I had surgery again the next day. I know again a few weeks later I had complications, was back in the hospital. I believe God brought healing into my body through that. And I know that a few weeks after that, I was back for a follow-up visit. And the doctor looked at me and said, the test I'm looking at can't be right, because basically what it boils down to, he was telling me that not only should I not be sitting there conscious talking to him, I quite possibly should be dead. I was put back into the intensive care unit, tested for various things, spent close to at least a week there. Doctors didn't know what to do. And finally they got me back up to a position where they felt they could safely send me home, telling my wife, we don't know what else to do. We're sending him home. But one of the things that they spoke to me, and this was a couple of different people, I believe, said this to me. Apparently, God isn't through with you yet. And that struck a chord with me. Apparently, God isn't through with you yet. Just about a week ago, I was watching a television program, and they were interviewing a medical doctor, I believe it was. They had two different people on. And during that interview, he was talking about the miraculous healing that God had brought in his life, and how that at the end, as he's leaving the hospital, they told him, well, I guess God isn't through with you yet. So I've had that same experience as that gentleman had that was being interviewed on television. God isn't through. And some of you may have had the similar experiences, that you were at death's door. Some of you may even be one of those that had that rare opportunity that people have sometimes to actually visit the gates of heaven and then come back and tell others about it. I know that people were praying for me. And I know that God brought healing into my life. Yes, at that time, God's healing waters flowed. But I want to go back to something I said earlier. The verses of that song don't refer to physical healing. Verse 1 says, and I read it to you again, oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss the blood washed know. Oh, the peace akin to heaven where the healing waters flow. And then verse 4, cleansed from every sin and stain, whiter than the driven snow. Now I sing my sweet refrain, where the healing waters flow. I can't speak to what the writer of this song was truly thinking about, but I believe here he is speaking not of physical healing, but of spiritual healing. He's talking about the joy of sins forgiven. He's talking about the bliss the blood washed know. Oh, he's talking about being healed spiritually. And I want you to know today, my friend, maybe you're listening to me in your sickened body. Maybe you have a disease that is terminal. Maybe you have a disease that they say there is no cure for. I want you to know today, it's more important that you be spiritually healed than physically healed. Because it doesn't matter what condition your physical body is in as long as you are spiritually healed. Because if you are spiritually healed, when your spirit and soul depart this body, this shell that we leave behind, it doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in, we're not coming back to it. We're coming back to a body that's going to be a transfigurated body, a body that is beyond anything that we can think about, what God has prepared for us. Well, how do we get spiritual healing? Well, let's back up just a moment now. First of all, physical healing can come from many ways and sources. One, you can do nothing and your body heals itself. But that doesn't always work. Number two, you can get medical treatment. You can go to the doctor. Doctor can give you some medicine and you get over it, but sometimes you don't. So again, that doesn't always work. And then there's prayer and medical treatment. And to be honest, sometimes that doesn't work either. I've had people that were getting medical treatment and I went to pray for them, and yet they still died. I had a person, a friend actually, tell me one time, well, don't pray for me because everybody you pray for dies. And now that's obviously not really the fact, but it was just that a friend of theirs I had prayed for and that friend passed away. But they were spiritually healed, and that was the important thing. And the last thing is there's miraculous healing. And we've got miraculous healing. Oh, it's fantastic. But yet, there's been cases where people were miraculously healed of one thing and died a short time later of something else. So let's forget about the spirit or the physical healing for just a moment now. And let's go back to the spiritual healing. What did the word, the first line of that first verse say? Oh, the joy of sin forgiven. Second line, cleansed from every sin and stain. And I want you to know today, my friend, there is only one way to get spiritual healing. You can't go to the doctor. You can't take medicine. You can't do this. You can't do that. There is only one way that you get spiritual healing, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you see, verse 4 there said, oh, the bliss the blood washed know. That's where it comes in. That is where the spiritual healing comes in. When the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross of Calvary is applied to your life, then you can have spiritual healing. Jesus told the people in John chapter 14, verse 6, and it says, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, you ain't gonna make it You're not going to be spiritually healed unless you come through Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it's also written, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for among men there is given none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved." The name of Jesus, whether it's his Hebrew name Yeshua, whether it's his English name Jesus, whether it's his Spanish name Jesus, or whatever his name may be pronounced in any other language on the face of the earth, it is only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. It is not through the name of some person that's long gone. It's not through the name of some prophet of some religion that lived years ago and is buried somewhere. It's not through the name of Muhammad. It's not through the name of Buddha. It's not through the name of Confucius. It's not through the name of any of these other religions. Only through the name of Jesus Christ can you be saved. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22 through 28 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was then necessary that the similitudes of heavenly things should be purified with such things, but the heavenly things themselves are purified with better sacrifices than are these." And he's talking about the sacrifices that the Jews offered on the altar at the temple. "For Christ is not entered into the holy places that are made with hands, which are similitudes of the true sanctuary, was entered into very heaven to appear now in the sight of God for us." And I want to stop there for a moment. Remember, when Jesus died on the cross, made himself the offering for our sin, he died on the cross, he rose again on the third day, and he presented that sacrifice to God the Father. Because you find out, as Mary sees him in the garden and she's talking to him, and she wants to touch him, and he says, "Don't touch me, for I haven't yet ascended to my Father." But he goes to his Father, and then he comes back, and he's there with him for 40 days. "Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest, entered into the holy place every year with others' blood," and that was the way the sacrifice had been done before. "For then must he have often suffered such the foundations of the world. But now in the end of the world hath he been made manifest, once to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men that they shall once die, and after that cometh the judgment, so Christ was once offered to take away the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He died on the cross for your sins, my friend. And if you're listening to me today and you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can ask him into your heart and life today. Just say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Cover it with your blood that was shed in my behalf. Make me a child of God." And you know what? If you do that, he'll do it. He'll come into your heart. He'll come into your life. He'll give you that spiritual healing that you need. Now, will you go through some rough times? Yes, you will. I can guarantee you, you will go through some rough times. But you are assured of a future that is beyond belief. A future with God the Father himself. A future with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. And no other person, no other way can it be offered. You can have that spiritual healing today, just by calling out unto him. And maybe there's someone that's listening today that also needs physical healing. And Father, today, I pray, Father, as this message goes forth, and it's heard, Father, in various parts of planet Earth, Father, I pray those that need physical healing today, Father, as they reach out in faith unto you, Father, that you would bring healing into their physical body. Raise up the lame, Father. Bring healing to the sick, Father. And Father, that one with cancer, Father, bring healing in their physical body. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, I have a friend right now with ALS. I pray, Father, you bring healing into his body. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.